I do have some very good news for you today. Some very good news. God has made you to be a person. That's not the end of the sentence, so stop laughing there. God has made you to be a person who hears Him. God has made you to be a person who hears Him. Now, think about your Bible. Think where it starts. Think of how Genesis begins. God creates everything, of course. He creates humanity, personified there in Adam and Eve, and He puts them in a garden to do what? To live in relationship with Him. The picture of the Garden of Eden is supposed to be in our minds as something we are continually wanting to return to. Return to Eden. We want to go back to Eden, not because we want to go backwards in time, but because God is in the process of recreating that perfection for us. When we get to heaven, we're going to say, oh, this is what Eden is. And this is what it's like for a person to be in perfect communion with his or her Creator. Now, while we're yet on earth and not yet reaching heaven, we are in the continual process of striving towards an Eden-like experience of intimacy with God. You were made, designed, given the capacity to live in relationship with God. Now, in order to have a relationship, you need to know somebody and you need to communicate with somebody. My relationship with my wife is fostered when I take time to talk and listen to her. I should probably try that some more. Your relationship with God is designed to be one of communication, hearing from God, talking to God, dialoguing with God. I pity those people who have a picture of God as being someone who wrote some instructions down and then left. That's not the reality of God Almighty. God is concerned about you, and He knows you by name. He watches over you by His Spirit. He is inside of every one of you who is a true believer in Christ. There is intimacy with God. That's His design. And we want to be pressing into more and more of that design every day. So today I specifically want to talk about increasing our capacity to hear from God this year. Increasing our capacity to hear from God. Scripture is filled with references of people hearing God's voice. Adam and Eve, of course, or turn a few more pages, and Abraham is called by God. Isaac, his son, Jacob, his grandson, hear God. A few pages later, as we're working our way through the Old Testament, you come to Moses, and Moses encounters God in a burning bush environment, hears God, and continues to dialogue with God throughout the rest of his life, has what he calls his tent of meeting, set outside the camp later on, and communes with God face to face. His second in command, Joshua, stays there as well. Or skip a few more pages, you come to a young man like Samuel, who heard God in the middle of the night and continues to hear God throughout his life, telling the people what God says. Or you have characters like Samson, with all the craziness of his life, but a man who hears God. Or David. David continually heard God. And it resulted in him speaking with God, talking to God. David wrote in Psalm 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. God speaking. God speaking through the psalmist, I will instruct you, I will teach you. What is that? That's a God speaking into the ear of, the spiritual ear of, someone so that someone knows how to go the way God wants them to go. God's eye upon you. That's not a distant God. That's a close God. That's a God in relationship with us. So because of that, we can be glad in the Lord. We can rejoice. We can shout for joy. Or consider the prophets. The second half of the Old Testament is mostly the writing of the prophets. And prophet after prophet says, hear the word of the Lord. the Lord told me to tell you. Jeremiah said one of the things that God wrote, told him to write is, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you. Call to me and I will answer you. Call to me and I will answer you. One of the things that frustrated me shortly after we got Lisa's cell phone is that she didn't always have it on or near her. I'm thinking, why did we buy you a cell phone if it's not going to work for me to call you? When I call you, I want you to hear me. Now, you know, as we've all gotten used to being chained to these things, we don't have that same problem. But in the early days, we weren't always available for a call. But God is saying, call me and I'll answer you. Call me and I'll answer you. God wants us to be people who are hearing his voice. The Gospel of John is one of my favorites. And if you're not knowing where to be reading during the month of January, I encourage you to be reading the Gospel of John and sharing with one another the things you're hearing there in the Gospel of John. But in John 8:47 is this amazing statement. Whoever is of God, whoever is of God, whoever is a part of God's family, whoever is a true believer in God, a changed person, a redeemed person, whoever is in a relationship with God, whoever is of God hears the words of God. That's the definition of, a characteristic of, a follower of God. They hear God. Or John 10:16. Jesus is talking about his sheep and how he's got sheep here that are right there listening to him, and he's got sheep in other folds as well. And he says, I have sheep that are not of this fold. I will bring them also, and they will, what? They will listen to my voice. His sheep will listen to his voice. Or specifically, he says that in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I love the imagery, Jesus being a shepherd, us being sheep. He knows us. He watches us. He doesn't have to paint a number on our side or stick a tag in our ear. He knows us. He's familiar with us. He birthed us. He recreated us. He put his life inside of us. He's in a relationship with us. He knows us. We hear him. We follow him. Those are promises of God. This is accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. John 14:26. The helper, Jesus said this, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Amazing promises. One of the things that helps us recognize that Jesus expects us to hear him is how Jesus interacted with the Pharisees. Think about that as you read through the Gospels. Jesus is challenged by, confronted by skeptics. The group is called the Sadducees and the Pharisees, two groups within the Jewish community at that time. They were learned individuals, men at that time, who spent hours upon hours reading through and memorizing the Old Testament scriptures. They read the Old Testament scriptures over and over and over. And when Jesus interacts with them, what question does he use to drive home his point? That something is awry in their thinking, and something is definitely awry in their believing. He uses the phrase, have you never read? Now think about that. Someone that spent their lifetime reading the scriptures has this prophet who they didn't recognize as the Messiah stand in front of them, and he says to them, have you never read? Jesus seems to think they can't read the scriptures. because they are not reading them the way they were designed, they were called to read them. They are not reading the Scriptures to hear God. They might have had their eyes pore over the words. They might have had the concepts pass through their brain. But as they read, they never read to see God, to hear God, to be changed by God. But you who have the Spirit of Christ living in you, you're now like the disciples on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection of Christ, the ones who were confused, the ones who were wondering what happened, whom suddenly Jesus is standing next to. And he's opening up their minds to understand the Scriptures. So that as he explained the scriptures to them, it burned inside of them. That's the work of God, to open up the heart of an individual to be receptive to the voice of God, so that life happens, transformation occurs, intimacy is brought about, a relationship is established. You've been called by God to be those type of disciples of Christ, the ones who hear Jesus through his word. That's your calling. Your destiny, it's what you're made for. I read this from John Piper, talking about the Pharisees and their inability to hear. He wrote afterwards, "Reading the God-breathed Bible does not mean looking at biblical words and then thinking your own thoughts or feeling your own feelings or doing your own thing. That's not what we're talking about. Some people do that. They read God's printed word, and in so doing, they think their own thoughts, feel their own feelings, and eventually do their own things. We are called to do the opposite. We are called to read the inspired word of God, let the Holy Spirit illuminate it inside of us, so that as we read it, we think God's thoughts. We feel God's feelings, and we do God's deeds. That's the type of reading we're talking about as we read the Word of God. The Pharisees didn't get it. And the Pharisees, because they didn't see God in His Word, didn't hear God in His Word, when they saw the incarnate Christ in front of them, they did not see Him for who He really was. They missed out on seeing the incarnate Christ because they did not hear God's word. So I encourage you that you are not Pharisees. You are Emmaus Road disciples. Jesus said in John 5:37-38, "The Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, His form you have not seen, and you do not know, you do not have His word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one He has sent." Again, what an indictment upon those scholars of the Old Testament who did not truly have the word of Christ, the word of the Messiah, the word of God alive inside of them. But when the Apostle John started his gospel, what did he say about his experience? This is the scripture we used last week. John was able to say, "We have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1:14. He was looking at the same Jesus the Pharisees were looking at, but John saw the glory of God. Same thing that happened in their physical eyes is true of those of us who read God's Word. The Scriptures. Jesus is the embodiment and the fulfillment of what the Old Testament was all about. During this coming year, as we preach through the Old Testament, it'll take me more than a year, but over the coming year, we're going to see Jesus all through the Bible, not just in what we call the New Testament, but what we call the Old Testament, the whole canon of Scripture. It contains the message of Christ, the Messiah. And so we're going to see him page after page. The Old Testament is the testament about Jesus. And those who read it should see him if their eyes are opened to the reality of God's voice, if they're able then, by the power of Christ, to see the glory of Christ revealed. So our job is to marinate our minds in the Scriptures with the right heart attitude, the right prayers, the right then commitment to obeying, so that we start smelling like the Scriptures. I'm picturing a really nice chunk of beef that's marinated in that liquid, not just for a few hours, but for a couple days. It's soaked in those oils and those spices and those herbs. Can you picture it? Can you picture it, Paul? Paul's a chef, by the way. Oh, I want to go over to your house and taste what I'm picturing right now. We want our brains to be like that, marinating in the Scriptures so that they're soaking in the truths of the Scriptures, so that they're receiving the intended instructions and intended knowledge and intended emotions and intended actions of the Scriptures, so that it leads to a brain that's supple to respond to the voice of God. I've had the privilege in the past to travel 7 different times to Africa to do ministry with the College of Prayer, mentoring pastors and leaders to lead revived churches to reach the lost world. And the thought that comes to mind as I was preparing the sermon was of how I'd be in a room full of people talking and singing and praising God, and I understood nothing because I didn't know their language. Sometimes they use the trade language of French, and sometimes they'd use their local dialects, and I'm sitting over there totally oblivious to the actual meaning of each individual word. Now, sometimes I got the gist of the flow of what was going on. But I was bound by having a translator sitting right next to me telling me, repeating, translating everything that was going on. Jaden told me the other day he was going to learn French. I really hope that happens. You could be a great assistance in that next time. But there's times when we are oblivious to what words mean. The same can happen in reading the Bible. You could read something and really be oblivious to the true message behind it. And you need a translator, or you need to learn the language of Scripture. You need to learn the language of God. You need to prepare your heart, prepare your spirit, prepare yourself to be able to receive what those words are supposed to be communicating to you. We want to be learning how to hear God. Now, when we talk about hearing God, let's pause for a minute and let's be honest about a few things. When we use the term hearing God, we're usually talking about an internal reception of an impression, an idea, a thought from God. We're usually talking about a spiritual hearing. There are some people who hear the phrase hearing God and say, well, I've never heard God. Well, the reality is that most of us have not heard him with our physical ear. I can't think of a single time, and I might have forgotten something, but I can't think of a single time it's been a physical eardrum sensation that I've heard God. Like what happened at the baptism of Jesus, where a voice boomed from heaven from the Father, and everyone who was there heard something. Some heard it as the word of God, and some just heard it as thunder. But it was something that pounded off their eardrums. God does speak that way occasionally. I've never received it that I can remember. And don't be surprised if you don't. Or physical eyes. I can think of, and I've never said this before, and I was asking God, are you sure I'm supposed to say it? And I think I am. Only one time have I sensed God's presence with my physical eye. Probably this one. And that was an extreme rarity. One time, and it was just this intense light that flooded the room that I'm pretty sure it was a physical sensation, not just a vision sensation. But I was only one time in 55 years. A few times I've heard the Word of God through a prophetically anointed individual speaking physical words coming to them from God. That's been a few times. The vast majority of the times that I've heard God, it's been an internal reception of a message from God that I knew was from Him. And as I grew in my ability to recognize His voice, my confidence in that increased. In the early days, I would say, Lord, is that You? Was that You, God? Was that me? Was that the pizza? Was that my friend's words that I remembered from before? But over time, as you get used to a person's voice, your confidence that you heard from Him increases. That's what we're talking about the vast majority of time. Hearing God inside your spirit. Now, that happens a few different ways. There are words of knowledge, there is prophecy, but the vast majority of those times is in this way, and this is what I'm encouraging you to make a regular habit of your life from this day forward. Hearing the voice of God through the written Word of God. In a way that you're dialoguing with God over His Word, that the Word of God becomes alive and active and sharp and becomes a Word driven deep inside your spirit. I want to talk to you about how to do that this month and how to make that an ongoing characteristic of your daily experience. And then I want to say this to put you at ease. Some of you are suddenly feeling guilty. I haven't heard God every day. Make it your goal to hear God every week. There are some days that are crazy. There are some days that just get all off track right away. And Satan wants you to start beating yourself up whenever you have one of those days that's not how you want it to go. Here's the voice of God. Listen to my voice as often as possible. Make it your goal to at least hear Him every week, setting aside as much time as possible to hear Him on a regular basis, but at least making time to hear Him every week. So we want to be people who are hearing God. Let me give you some steps to take. Some steps to take so that you can hear God this week. Step number one. Make time. Make time. To hear God this week, make time. That is the reason we start each year with a season of fasting and prayer, is to recalibrate our soul so that we're making time to hear God, so that God takes precedence. Second step, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart through worship, through surrender, through confession, through repentance, through acknowledging relationship. Why do we start the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. Because we need to be reminded that when we pray, we're talking to someone we're in a relationship with, who loves us, who birthed us, who owns us, who redeems us. We prepare our hearts. Third step, you ask God to speak to you. You have not because you ask not, Scripture says. So we specifically ask God to speak to us. Lord, as I open up your word today, would you speak into my ears? Would you speak deep down in my spirit as I open your word and as I read? And then step number four, you read. And you read in a certain way. You read slowly. Many of my friends and mentors and instructors, they encourage you to read out loud because it fosters brain interaction in a different way than just reading silently. You read interactively. You read something and then you talk about it. You think about it. You meditate on it. You ponder it. You read something slowly and interactively, dialoguing with God about it. God, why is that written there? What am I supposed to know from that line I just read? What am I supposed to feel from that line I just read? What am I supposed to do from that line I just read? Or you ask these questions, Lord, is there a promise there for me to claim? Is there a characteristic of yours for me to worship? Is there a sin there I'm to repent of? You read it interactively, dialoguing back and forth with God. You read it slowly, prayerfully, asking questions. Lord, what do you want me to hear from you in this verse? And then you pray, number five, you pray that truth back to God. Lord, this verse says that you're the one who created everything out of nothing. Lord, I praise you that you are the creator. Lord, this verse says that when you created humanity, Adam and Eve, you said it was very good. Lord, I praise you that your creation is very good. I acknowledge that as being true. You read it and you pray it. You read it and you pray it. If that's something that you want some coaching on, I encourage you to come Tuesday mornings to my men's group. We have Updahl scones, and we have praying of the Word of God. Great combination. Praying what you read, praying the Scripture, praying it back to Him. And then maybe you read something and you go, God, is that true for me? Is that true in my life now? Is that something you want to do in my life now? God, teach me how to make that true. You pray about what you read. You interact with God about it. And then number six, you pause. You give God time. You give God space. And you listen. You listen for the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit. You listen for the voice of God deep down inside you. You listen for the confirmation of the things that you have read. And oftentimes God will speak His word back to your spirit in a personalized way.